You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business marketing automation, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers. And in this episode, I want to discuss ways to make your messaging, your messaging within your marketing stronger across as many channels as possible by personalizing what people see when they interact with your business. And when I say your business, I mean any of your web assets, okay? Conditionally showing or hiding content is one of the most effective ways to increase conversions and really separate your business from the rest. And I wanna discuss today in this episode how it can be done. I've alluded to it in a few previous episodes, and one of my mentees was like, "Hey, can you just entire episode on that?" So I'm honoring that request, and I want to describe, define, and help you understand how to properly leverage conditional content. So if you're new to the podcast, make sure you do me a favor, okay? Listen to this episode in its entirety, and right at the end, and I'll give you your indicator right at the end, make sure that you subscribe. Subscribe and leave a 5-star rating and review to let me, as well as all other visitors or potential listeners, know just how great the content in this podcast is. If you are a consistent listener, please make sure you're subscribed. Every Thursday, a new episode comes out. I do not want you to miss one. Okay, make sure you're subscribed and that you have left a 5-star rating and review. We are in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe on YouTube. And if you have not been able to, for whatever reason, or you already have given a 5-star rating review, do me one more favor and share this episode on LinkedIn, on a social media platform of your preference. I prefer LinkedIn, but if you could do me that solid, it would be greatly appreciated. Okay. And thank you in advance for those of you who are listening right now, taking me up on my instruction and leaving a 5-star rating and review. All right. So let's jump right into it. Let me start off by saying you're already doing this. Okay. You may not be aware because you don't see the analog parallels to this digital strategy here, but by nature of existence, we speak and operate conditionally. I mean, just think about it. Okay. Your tone changes when you're speaking to your friends and when you're speaking to the opposite sex, right? I always get a chuckle out of this because when I was younger, and you know, as you're navigating the different stages of puberty, you know, some of your friends' voices got deeper before others. And it was always hilarious when you're around your buddies and then, you know, they call up a girl or a girl calls them and how they try to drop that baritone. You know, try to drop the tone to a baritone when they're speaking, right? I know I'm guilty of it. I have been guilty of it. But what about your choice of words when you're explaining something to a child versus a coworker? Now, I just felt somebody say, "Well, my coworkers are like children, and if I don't speak to them like that, they won't get it." But usually, you're going to use a different tone. You use different words when you're speaking to a child. I would hope you're not on your job, you know, that frustrated with who you have to work with that you're using a child's tone with them, right? But how about how you dress going to Home Depot on the weekend versus how you dress going to work daily? These are all examples of how we show up and interact conditionally. So that's what I mean. You're already doing this. And again, a lot of times, the hardest job that I have is teaching people who are doing something so well and in an analog fashion how to do it digitally, because they just overcomplicate it. The second you introduce technology, they're just like, I can't do it the same way. And it's like, yes, you actually can. You're doing it right. We just need to translate that, right? And in our marketing, it has to operate the same way across as many channels as possible, meaning our marketing's tone has to change. The look and feel has to change conditionally based on the contact that's experiencing it, right? And to give you something to remember, right? Think of it like this. Irrelevant information to a relevant audience is the fastest way to lose the interest and intent of that audience. I'm going to say it one more time. Irrelevant information to a relevant audience is the fastest way to lose the interest and intent of that audience. Okay, don't tell me what I don't care about. That's the fastest way to just have me tune out your voice. But the opposite has to be true, which means relevant information to a relevant audience will increase interest and intent. So the trick is, how do we pull this off? How do we pull this off? Because this is not often an area that's straightforward. Okay, like there's a lot of things in marketing I can tell you to do, and it's pretty straightforward. Hey, you need to send an email. Okay, I sign up for any platform, send an email. Hey, you need a web form on your website, right? Hey, you need to create a lead magnet, use Canva, right? These are things that are pretty straightforward. You know, they still take some intellect, but for the most part, you can figure it out. But conditional content is not that straightforward. So the power that it unleashes is worth the effort, though. I'll tell you that. But let me start by defining it, because I don't want to leave anybody behind and just assume you know this. And if right now you're like, what is he talking about? Let's bring it home here so I don't lose you. Okay. Conditional content is, and let me say this, anytime you hear me say is defined as, it's my definition. Okay. You're not going to search online and find this in like Webster's or, you know, some other big marketing website. These are literally the ways that I describe the activities that I partake in and teach others to partake in marketing. Okay, so these are my definitions, just so you know. Didn't know if you were looking, but let me save you the search. But conditional content, I define it as the process of displaying customized messaging to your contacts based on information you know about them. Okay, and an important note is I did not specify the channel, because I want it to be across as many channels as possible. Doesn't matter to me. You know, I want to use all of them, and I'm always looking for a way to use my channels more personalized, right? So here are some examples, just in case it wasn't just in case, you know, you need a little more clarification. So one is returning to a site that you've logged in and seeing your name. This could be paying a bill, right? I mean, just pay attention to it. When you log into your bank account, any bill, you know, utility website, usually it will have your name there. You know, e-commerce store showing you items that you may be interested in based on a purchase. That's conditional. You're not gonna show me women's underwear if I just purchased a pair of men's jeans and boots. You know, maybe if you knew I was married, you know, maybe you've got some advanced, you know, AI going on. But for the most part, if I purchase books, show me more books. If I purchase a headset, you know, you pretty sure that I'm probably using Skype or Zoom or some video software. Show me something else relative to that. Right. That's conditional. Website content that changes for visitors versus returning visitors. This happens. And the point of this is for you not to know it's happening. right? Like the point is that unless you've got two devices and saying, hey, this is what it looks like my first time, and this is what it looks like when I return. And by the way, I do this at times just to see. I just want to know what marketers are really using certain strategies. But that one is harder to tell. You're not supposed to be able to tell. It should not say, since you visited this website three times, right? The language, the headline, the offer, all of that should just change. Okay. Another one is quiz results. Quizzes are hot right now. Everybody's using them in some capacity. And it makes sense because they're conditional and they're personalized, right? And along with quizzes, another example is just hiding and showing fields on a web form. Some of these I'll define more later on. But for the rest of this podcast, I want to take a twofold approach. All right. And that twofold approach is providing some guidance on how to do conditional content and then where to do it. OK, so those will be the two areas that we focus on. And like always, everybody, I wish I could just talk to you for a good 2 to 3 hours and really break this thing down, show you examples, be in front of you with a whiteboard and drawing arrows. But for the sake of brevity, I'm trying to make sure that I provide you with the most common and the most easily understood examples. All right. So when we look at the how, I want to start with the how. Remember, we're going to talk about how to do it and then where to do it. But when I think about the how, conditional content can be tricky. The reason why I said it's not as straightforward is because it's a very logical operation. And anytime you introduce logic, you introduce a bunch of confusion. Okay, let alone a logical layer in technology. Oh my goodness. You know, people's heads are hurting, right? And if you're not familiar with how to create branching logic, you may struggle a bit with conditional content. If you're not savvy at creating more beyond the basics of segments in your marketing platform, you may struggle a bit here. But done correctly, it is going to provide, again, the effort is worth the pain. You know, now is the time, if this is not you, that you really start to consider getting somebody on your team that knows how to do this. My preference is an automation service provider, but somebody that can navigate this field for you. Okay. Because done incorrectly, it will result in duplicate messaging or blank messaging. Right. So instead of them seeing that one customized message, maybe they don't see anything. Instead of them seeing that one customized message, maybe they see two versions of it. And I alluded to this a bit in the previous podcast when, you know, we talked about even the best mess up. Conditional content has been an area where I have made probably the most mistakes. Setting up conditions is probably the, when I look back, there have been many times where that and or threw me off, or, you know, I had my if else misconfigured, you know, things of that nature. So, I'm going to give you some pointers to help you not make those mistakes. Okay. Because this, any error in any duplicate or blank messaging in conditional content is done from not setting the right conditions. All right. Hence conditional content. If the condition is wrong, then the content will be too. So we really have to nail these conditions. So here's some tips to setting up your conditions without error. One is try to keep your conditions singular. The reason why I say try, if you're just getting started out, it is not try. It is keep them singular. But as you progress and your marketing matures, you're going to realize that there are going to be cases where it can't be singular. And here's what I mean. If the condition you're using has too many options, it'll be too difficult to account for them all. Okay, so an easy way to ensure this is done for you is to use radio buttons or drop downs instead of multi-select options or any other criteria that can have a whole lot of outputs. Okay. So when it's singular, even if you select one, or I should say not even if, but when you select one, it by nature excludes all others. Whereas where you have a multi-select or you have multiple options, you have to be intentional with excluding the rest. So keeping your conditions singular helps the software do the exclusion for you. And these are simple as do you enjoy hiking? Right? Yes, no. Or what do you enjoy most? Hiking, camping, XYZ. These are all radio buttons. So when they select one, of course, if I say I like this, then it excludes me from the rest. And somebody just said, but what if they like more? Exactly. That's my point. If you go and give them the option, check as many as apply, you have just overcomplicated your ability to display conditional content. There's a way, though. There's a way to do it. And I'll talk about that later when we talk about how to display it. But to keep things simple, keep your conditions singular. Okay. And right behind that, the next tip is to always have a fallback defined. And a fallback is, what do they see if none of the conditions are true? Okay. So now, or let me say this, if they don't meet any of the criteria or the conditions, right? So for me, this fallback is my default state. And what that does is it makes displaying your content conditionally additive more than required. But if you start out with, hey, I'm going to display this for these people and that for those, you can get into a situation again where you have some blank messaging. And I've seen this. I've seen some of the big marketing companies do this. And I wonder if they know quickly why this happened, because I can always tell. I can always tell. Hence why a lot of marketing companies don't use it. A lot of marketing companies do not use conditional content for that very reason. Okay. And I'll share with you it's not an easy way, but maybe a more fail-proof way, just in case you're nervous about setting this up. Okay. I'm going to give you an approach after this third tip. I'm going to give you an approach to use. All right. So the third one is test like crazy. I recommend this for automation building, but the same holds true for conditional content. Even if you need to add your own self, your own person to your database multiple times, meeting multiple criteria and sending the messaging to you just so you could see, okay, I had this data point captured. I should have received that. Okay, good. This looks good. Oops, blank message. What happened? Right? And there's ways to do that using email aliases and all of that. All right. So one of the safe approaches to do this. OK, I'm going to give you guys a trick here. I didn't intend on giving this trick, actually, but I'm in the flow. So I'll provide it. If you're not as confident in your conditions, what I recommend is instead of doing it like within an email, you know, or within the platform itself, use an if else and an automation to do the branching or the splitting for you. Okay. So let's take the same example that I used earlier. Said, hey, do you like hiking, camping, or just staying at home? Whatever, you know, which one best suits you. Then I have two if else's. One is, three if else's. One is, do they like camping? Yes, no. If they go down no, it's like, do you like hiking? Yes, no. If they go down no, then it is do you like staying at home? Yes or no. Then no is the default, the fallback, right? Under every yes branch, I will put a wait state. Okay. And if you want to, you can put it on the no branch too. You don't really need to, but under the yes branch, I put a wait state. Then the context under question that I would send this to, I would add them to this automation. There's no messaging in this automation, everybody. There's no messaging at all. Okay. I just want to see if everybody is going down the right path. And then once I see them queued at that wait state, I click on the number and I see who they are. I look at their contact record and say, OK, yeah, you should have gone down this path. And then once it's done, you've got two options. You can now just add emails at the, you know, you can replace the, remove the waits and add your emails for hiking, your email for camping, your email for staying at home, and then your default message. And then you essentially have a conditional automation, an automation that is responsible for sending out the conditional content, right? That's one way. And then you know that that logic works. That's a way to kind of like step by step get into it instead of what most people will do. Or what I do now is I'll jump into the email and I'll have various content that's conditional and displayed. Right. But there's something to be mindful about that. But let me not get ahead of myself because we're going to talk about that in a minute. So if you want to, you know, like I said, you're a little nervous. There are ways to test this and set it up to where you can really minimize all the errors first. I vacillate between using an automation, if else is in an automation, and then using content within an email. I do. It just all depends on the type of email that I want to send. Sometimes I don't want to have duplicate blocks within one email. It's easier for me to just draft an entire email to a specific audience and then use an if else to just decide who gets that email. Right. And of course, all of this work requires you to have your customer journey mapped out from steps within the journey to the segments that people fall into and out of as they progress through the journey. You have to understand, you have to have that mapped out. And this is, let me just pause here and say, this is why I'm against, I'm using air quotes, everybody, sales funnels. Because sales funnels really, they oversimplify this process. And they speak too broadly. A sales funnel is like, capture their lead, then show them something, then get them to buy. Oh, yeah, tripwire this, and then get them to upsell. It's really just focused on the main marketing events, marketing and sales events. But within those marketing and sales events, you have steps. There's segments. There's criteria. There's actions and behaviors, right? And in my experience, the word sales funnel just paints a broad stroke past all of it. Right. So you have to be a customer. You have to become a customer journey architect and really map it out. Have the path prepared for them before they go down it. Remember, there should be no surprises. There should be no action somebody can take. And you're like, didn't account for that. No, everything should be accounted for. Right. And the information you capture and when is important to help you determine the type of messaging that will display conditionally. So you have to know what you're capturing and when to even understand what's a possibility of conditionally displaying it. OK. And I know, let me just pause here. I know that we can go from kind of like a basic conversation to some real deep stuff quickly in this podcast. So we started off by talking about, oh, you're talking to your coworkers differently. You're dressed different at Home Depot than you do at work. And now we're down to if else's, information capture, mapping out the customer journey. It gets deep quick, right? And it can get much deeper, actually. So a lot of times you may need to listen to these podcasts multiple times. You may need to put some of this in practice, then come back and listen to it, because with experience, you hear differently. People who have messed up with conditional content and have sent those blank messages, they're salivating at these tips because they're like, oh, my gosh, how did I not think of that? Right. This is great. You see what I'm saying? So it's going to hit different for everybody. OK, but again, as you get experience and you implement, come back to these teachings. Come back to my tutelage. All right. So we talked about the how. Now let's take on the second fold. The first fold was how, the second is where. Let's discuss where you can display conditional content. And remember, I was talking about this when we talked about using an automation to do if else's. I have not lost my train of thought. There's something to be mindful with using conditional content within an email. So let's start with email. Email is by far the most straightforward and where I recommend everybody to start with using conditional content. Okay, so let me help break this down for you all. There are two main types when it comes to two main types of conditional content when it comes to email. One is additive. The second is switch based. Okay, additive means it adds to the message. Okay, you have a standard message and then the conditional content is in addition. This is one of my favorites to use, though. It really is. I go in more detail in my private community where I can really provide some examples and just have more space and time to explain this. But one of the examples is a PS. A PS on an email sent from your marketing platform is great for conditional content, especially if you've got a drip sequence. And you want somebody to take it. You want somebody to take action. And a lot of times people struggle with I don't want to feel too salesy or I don't want to put all these links. The PS is a great place to put conditional content. Right. So if somebody hasn't done something and you want them to do something, you can put it in the PS. Hey, PS. Hey, it looks like you haven't XYZ. And it's also a nice way to add a dual call to action. It's frowned upon to have too many call to actions in any place in marketing, right? But specifically in your emails, you don't want, you know, 4 to 5 links doing multiple things in an email. It that's overwhelming for people, right? You have to keep your call to action singular, but the PS provides a nice place to put a subtle secondary call to action, you know, or just reiterate the action that they haven't taken. So that's what I mean by additive. The message stays the same, but there's this one piece that we add to it based on a condition. Okay. And then switch based is where you switch the entire content of the email. This is what I was talking about previously. It's like, look, if you enjoy it's one email and 3 message blocks. If you enjoy hiking, you see message block 1. If you enjoy camping, you see message block 2. If you enjoy staying at home, you see message block 3. It's switching. It's just displaying which one that people want to see. Okay, so with that, okay, so we have the two types, additive and switch based. Now, within those two, you can choose various ways to display the information. And we're still talking about email, by the way, everybody. This additive and switch based applies to the other channels that I'm talking about, but I want to start with email because if you can get it with email, then the other channels will be easier. Okay. So then the within those two main types, the two ways to display the information, one is field data and 2 is what I call a data determinant. Okay. So field data is we usually know this as merge fields. So whatever is captured in the custom field, we can display. Again, that's usually the starting point. You know, I've captured their first name. I'm going to put the merge field in the email and now it displays the first name and it changes for everybody that receives that email. But can I go a level deeper? Can I go a level deeper? Will you let me? Okay, buckle up. I promise you all, a lot of times when I sit down, I don't necessarily have parameters. I have a basic outline of where I want to go. But today I'm just feeling to go a little deeper. OK, so I'm talking about the data and capturing an email. I mean, capturing the name and displaying the name in the email. Well, you do know that you can also create text that you want to put into a custom field so that it can display. I've done this. Let me give an example. I've done this with webinars. Right. So when somebody registers for a webinar based on a form submission, I'll then populate various custom fields. The name of the webinar, the time written out, you know, the main benefit, things of that nature. They're now in custom fields. Now, what can I do? Now, when I send somebody an email, the email is very much customized to that webinar. And whenever I want to change the date or whatever, I just change the automation that sets those fields and the email stays the same. So when I say field data, it could be field data that the customer, the contact has submitted, or field data that you've populated based on their submission. Okay. All right. Let's come back up. All right. Let's swim back up to the surface. The next is the data determinant. And that is when you're the same data you captured, but you're using it to display other messaging. Okay, so let's say if the first name field is not blank, show them this block, else the other block, right? And you can use tags, custom fields, you know, etc. This really is limited by your CRM. Some CRMs, when it comes to conditional content, do not allow you to set an entire block to be conditional. You know, and some of them, it's like writing code. I know MailChimp has got, you know, conditional content, but it is. It's like coding your email. It's like if this, else that, and they've got these bracket, double brackets and all of that. Whereas an active campaign is just a gear. You click a gear and say, make this conditional. And it's, you know, very straightforward. Oddly enough, I haven't seen conditional content in email be used in Entreport. I have, you know, it's been a while since I've been in Infusionsoft. So my Infusionsoft folks, you're going to have to let me know. But in Entreport, I remember talking to them recently as of recording this. This is in November. I'm recording this. I should say this is going live in November. I'm recording this around October 2020. But I remember talking to their team and them not having any idea what conditional content was. Now, granted, this is one individual, but listen, you're on the front line. If you don't know what conditional content is, whoa, right? So every platform does not allow you to do this. So hence why we want to be clear on our strategy before we pick the technology, right? So that was email. Now let's talk. Email is one place where you can display conditional content. Two is on your website. Now, this isn't the easiest and it's not the most inexpensive. I will tell you that. But it is fun and highly effective. And there's ways. Listen, there is you're going to have to use third party software to do it. I know ways that I can do it within my page builder. The two page builders that I use the most are Beaver Builder and Elementor. So I know how to use those to display content conditionally. But for the most part, you're going to need third party software. Something like a Thrive Themes will allow you to set your call to actions based on categories, you know, pages visited. Another tool, ConvertFlow, will allow you to determine what pages trigger which call to actions. And if they have particular data, you've captured data already in your CRM, it will change the call to action that's displayed on your website. So there is third party software to do it, right? And for the most part, you are going to use it. You're going to need to use third party software. But for simplicity's sake, website conditional content falls into two categories. One is source and one is source based, and one is information based, right? So source based is relative to what caused them to become a visitor on your website. So this is often stored in UTMs or cookies. They're both technical terms. UTM parameters are just variables within the URL that shows us where somebody came from. Google uses them to do their attribution tracking in analytics. Cookies are a level deeper, right? Cookies are, you know, scripts that run on web pages that store values in the browser. So if you change browsers, you know, it's not going to follow you, you know, across browsers and devices. There's some technology that goes across multiple browsers. But anyway, very technical. But so by source, because remember, you may or may not even know who they are. They could be a first time. So placing something in your cookies or the UTMs allows you to understand where they came from and start customizing the journey, right? And then information capture. This is what I meant when I talked about third-party software. Oftentimes, just to pull off the source, you're going to need third-party software. So if I had a link, which I use this, and the UTM source is Facebook, I would need third-party software to say, if the source is Facebook, display this message. Right? If the source is XYZ, display this message. Now, if we weren't deep, we're going to go a level deeper. You do realize that sources can be other web pages on your website, right? So now I can display a different message if somebody clicks on my contact page from my about page. And then maybe I display a different message if they come to my contact page from Google, a Google search, right? Are you starting to see the power of this? I mean, the more people engage on your website, the more you can personalize their journey. I have all kind of personalized links within my website. So if you click something from a particular page on my site, it's going to determine what you see next. And oftentimes, again, this is going to require third-party software, but I found ways to just use my WordPress page builder to do this. Okay. And this often, again, leverages the first because, you know, if you click on, let's say, the contact page for my about page, the URL, I'm going to put a variable up there to know that you came from my about page. And based on that URL variable, I'm going to show some content specific to that. Oh, looks like you want to know more about me. Well, great. Fill out the form below and XYZ. Which leads me to my third one. I don't know if you guys can tell. I'm smiling through all of this because this is the part that I really enjoy. As I've grown in marketing automation, the planning has become a joy to me. Segmentation has been like my love. Like, I love segmentation because it just is so profitable, and conditionally displaying content makes everything so much more personalized, and it just puts you in a position to really get the information that you need to be stronger in your marketing. So when we talk about web form, I'm smiling because I already saw if they come to the contact page, I can even have a conditional contact form, right? Which leads me to web forms is the third place where you can use conditional content. And that's showing and hiding fields, right? If they select a certain option, it shows fields or it hides fields. It was a pleasant surprise when Airtable added this functionality. You know, a database software that provides forms has conditional fields. I was like, wow, you know, Airtable just continues to grow on me. But what about confirmation messages? When someone fills out the form, are you showing them something different based on what they put in? Or do you just have the standard, thanks, somebody will be in touch? Most people do. And if we're talking about conditional content, that's an easy win for you. If you're a photographer and someone says, I want to get started this month, or I'm looking for a photographer for later in the year, that's an easy case to display a custom message, right? Oh, great. Well, thank you for submitting your information. We have some availability this month. Click here, right? And then it could be the same link for people beyond that says, oh, great. Don't worry. Whenever you're ready, we're ready to meet your needs. We know that it's a bit in the future, but here's a link now. We'll also send it to you in email so you can schedule a time when you're ready. It could be the same link, but you see, I changed the messaging based on what they submitted. And then if you want to take it a step further, you can have conditional thank you pages, which means they don't see a message after submitting. They actually go to a page. And now based on that submission, it determines what page they see. And now I have a page that I can dedicate to a specific outcome. So when we break this thing down, it's really about routers, right? It's about having a means of routing people to the right asset to display the right messaging, whether that asset be an email, whether it be a web page, whether it be a web form, right? We're using conditions as the router. Your conditions become where I send you, and then your destination, that messaging is catered to you because I know where you came from because the router told me. Okay. So I need to go deep one more time, everybody. I'm getting close to my time. I'm a little over. I try to keep these short, but you guys get me going. You listen so good. You listen so well, I should say. You know, if you weren't such great listeners, maybe I could cut this a little shorter, you know, but I do enjoy these. So let's go deep. Let's get our snorkel. Let's go a little deeper real quick. Remember, I told you, you can use links within your website that go to other pages that display conditional content. So if you're on my about page and you click contact, since I know you came from my about page, I can display some conditional information on my contact page relative to the source, which is my about page, right? And then I said, I'll probably use a UTM variable to display that messaging. Well, not only can you use a UTM variable to display the messaging, you can also use the UTM variable to pre-select options on the contact form. Now, couple that with conditionally showing and hiding fields, this means I can click a link on my about page, take me to my contact page with a customized message, and then based on the information stored in my URL, I've already selected an option on the contact page which has shown or hidden additional fields. Okay, I'm done. All right. You may need to listen to that one a few times to really wrap your head around it. But okay, let's get out of the deep ocean. Let's come back up. Okay. Because simply put, remember, there is no automation without information. And the information should be used for personalization. Because the most profitable marketing is what? A personalized marketing experience. Okay. So as the market becomes more flooded with mediocre marketers and businesses looking to digitize their processes fast, it's more important now than ever that you set yourself apart by using customized marketing. Conditional content is just one tool. And I hope that this podcast gave you an understanding of not only what it is, but how to use it. And you could start to see areas in your marketing where you're like, ooh, I can do this today. Please do it today. Okay. Because your audience deserves it. They deserve to be treated as individuals as they at masses go through your customer journey. And automation can help. This is a great example of how we use automation to enhance the personal experience. Okay. So who needs to hear this? Okay. Who's that person that has absolutely nothing customized? Everything is the standard. There's standard thank you messages every time someone opts in, standard emails with broad language, right? Or who's that business owner that you know that has a very niche offer, which would make it so easy to customize just a level deeper to get higher results? Who's that person? Who, when you were listening to this, somebody came to mind. I know you were thinking about yourself and your business. Maybe you were thinking about your business partner. Maybe you're thinking about your marketer. Maybe you were thinking about your spouse. Whoever that was, share this episode with them. And remember, I told you I give you my cue for all you first time listeners. Now is the time to subscribe to the podcast. Okay. You see it. You see the value. Right now is the time to subscribe to the podcast. You can keep this going in the background. My voice will continue to go and you could just go leave a 5-star rating and review right now. And again, make sure that you share this episode. All right. Here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated, as I mentioned, to training digital marketing professionals to become automation service providers. These are people who you can trust to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business for rapid growth. And what I like to do is send us a special invitation. If the content that you heard today, you want to learn how to do, and you just want to be around people who want to learn how to do it, as well as people who are doing it along with myself, I want to give you an invitation today on the podcast to join our private community of automation specialists who are openly sharing the latest tools, strategies, automation building tips, and more. We've got private podcasts where we can take a podcast topic and I go even deeper. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the place where all of the automation professionals hang out. So if you're looking to speed up your learning curve or shorten your learning curve and rub shoulders with other people that will make you better quicker, trust me, this is the community for you. I'm in it daily. You know, you don't see me online in social media a whole lot, but I am in my community daily, engaging, sharing, discussing, you know, strategies, letting people bounce ideas. Hey, I was thinking about this. One of the members just the other day posted a new marketing platform. And it's like, ooh, let's check this out. Let's break it down. Right. Along with monthly automation challenges. Right. To make learning challenging, of course, but fun. The only way to get better faster is to be around people, be in an environment where it's always happening around you. Okay. So if this sounds like something you like to join and be a part of, again, this is my invitation to you. Visit automationbridge.com/join and you'll be able to join the community as of today, as soon as today. All right. So all of the show notes to the podcast are accessible at automationbridge.com/podcast. You can subscribe there to listen to other episodes at your leisure. As well as share. Okay. So until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.